Luxury, my man, what's up?
Dial, my friend, I'm doing great today. And how about yourself?
I am doing great. I'm so excited because we're going to be talking about a new song today on One Song. On this show, we usually celebrate songs from the past. We've covered era-defining classics like Nirvana Smells Like Teen Spirit, Queen's Under Pressure, The Beatles Come Together. And that's a little by design. It's hard to write history as it happened.
That's true, yeah.
There's no grand perspective yet. But we like danger here at One Song.
We live on the edge. Scary.
We don't mind being wrong. So we are going for it. Today, we are going to be talking about a song by one of the leading artists of right
Number now. Number 15 global artist on Spotify.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. This song dropped last summer, and we think it could be around for many years to come.
That's right. It's a song that went to number one in 19 countries, including Brazil, Bulgaria, Lithuania, and even here in the US of A. It also topped the Billboard Global 200, has the distinction of being the fastest song by a female artist to amass 100 million streams.
Damn, that's real. And more than that, it represents the creative zenith for an artist who was once dismissed as a novelty act. That's right. I said what I said. And this is that time on One Song where we're going to do
Doja Cat. And the song is Paint the Town Red.
Yeah, bitch, I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. I let all that get to my head. I don't care. I paint the town red. Bitch, I said what I said.
Shout out to US Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that. Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's Jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
All right, I'm actor, writer, director, and sometimes DJ, Diallo Riddle.
And I'm producer, DJ, songwriter, and musicologist Luxury, a.k.a. the guy who talks about interpolation on the internet.
And today we have a very special guest with us to talk about all things Doja Cat. You might know her from her roles on A Black Lady Sketch Show and iCarly. You may have seen her on Sherman Showcase. If you did, thank you. And you might also know her as the Scam Goddess. That is the title of her hit podcast. Lacey Mosley, welcome to the show.
Hey.
Why am I the only one clapping?
Why are you not clapping for me?
You know,
deserves big round of
merge
applause.
Your hands in a violent motion.
Violence with
I
your
don't
hands.
Accept West what the West what Western civilization tells
okay,
me is the
my
proper
brother,
way.
Give me some snaps.
I looked at you and gave you an approving nod. Because that's what we did in the motherland. We didn't do this in the motherland. Show me applause in
we
the motherland.
We was never over there. We don't know what they did.
I did the research.
That's my favorite awkward question when people are like, oh, where are you from? Like, where's your family, your genus? And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. West Africa, somewhere they could dock a boat. Like, somewhere over here.
I looked mine up. It was Angola.
I'm not giving the government no more of my information, okay?
I gave them all my DNA.
My cousin's got two strikes. We can't be doing all that.
They can triangulate.
They're like,
you
we've
know?
Got a match. Yeah. Okay, so Lacey, my friend, we're discussing yes, Doja friend. Cat today. I want to start off by asking you this. If an alien fell to the planet Earth and had no knowledge of pop culture, how would you explain to this alien Doja Cat?
Ooh, okay. Danilo, because we are friends, I am here.
Did I put you on the spot with that? I'm sorry.
No, you didn't. No, I'm glad you said it because discussing musicians has got me in a lot of trouble recently. So.
Well, we were going to stay far away from that.
I'm here for you because I love you. I'm here for you because I love you. But I guess I would describe Doja Cat as okay. Welcome to our planet. I'm trying to do y'all voice.
Yeah, getting the headspace. That's good.
Yeah,
that's what you're going to find.
Yeah,
it.
So I've been, because I got accents.
Acting.
You're not. You know?
It's a 1960s alien, first off. Yeah. I'm glad you picked up on that.
It's like, so Doja Cat is an internet sensation. What your children have been watching on live. She's constantly online. And she started off with making these videos on a camera that broadcasted them to the world. And they were her eating burgers and drinking milkshakes and playing music on her computer. And then we got a beautiful, life-changing, iconic zenith.
Ooh, there it is. That word's going to come up a lot in this episode.
Called Bitch, I'm a Cow. Oh.
Yeah, bitch, I'm a cow. Bitch, I'm a cow. I'm not a cat. I don't say meow.
So she was doing that kind of stuff before Moo came
out. Yes, before Moo came out. Before I go, Moo.
Yeah. And we're going to get into a little bit of Moo.
Yeah, and I just love that we are all kind of these drones. She's sending it out to the people, and we're like, whatever you say, Doja Cat, whatever you make up in your bedroom while you're eating burgers and milkshakes, we are
fries
going
up your
to
nose,
do
yeah.
it. And then she exploded into this kind of genre-bending, odd, very much child of the internet, had all of the MySpaces up to the, TikToks that we have now.
And to be clear, I mean, we're going to be, talking about Doja Cat as we dive into her music. But she had actually been signed before Moo. She had been signed to an actual label. And, she was doing all this weird stuff on E-Bomb's World and MySpace. But she was signed before, she ever had sort of the weird.
She had a couple, two albums out, I think.
I didn't
really do
know
very
that.
Much,
that's a good scam, honey. Because she had that parasocial scam where it was just like, I'm just a girly in my regular apartment, just like y'all. And I'm just over here with probably thousands of dollars worth of equipment. But we don't know what that stuff costs. You do. Right, you do right. luxury.
So that's interesting. So you think, because I've kind of grown up, my assumption of her is that she came up exactly as you put it. In my mind, I'm kind of think there's a through line a little bit. She and Lil Nas X are kind of in a similar realm of coming from internet performative and really knowing the language of the internet and being involved deeply. And the music is almost like, it could have been something else. They're sort of memers in a way. They're memeing with music in a lot of ways. So do you think that was a front she was putting on? Because she does have a little bit of her background does seem to have a little bit of privilege, if that's what it sounds like you were kind of referring to.
Well, yeah. And I mean, and with Diallo's sharing that she was already signed, what I'm saying more is, and I do this too. I'll tell y'all my scams. But the parasocial relationship with your fans, and I don't take it too far because if you open the door, they walking in, okay? Yeah. So it's I open a window and be like, hey, y'all, Blue's Clues, Tabitha Brown. But creating that kind of authentic relationship with her fans and knowing how, like you said, luxury to communicate on the internet, it does create this authentic character that doesn't seem like an industry planner, doesn't seem like something that's being shoved down your throat. It's we all got to feel like we organically found her. And we all know the people who really love music. I don't gatekeep like this, but I do feel very special if it's I listen to your mixtapes and now you popping. I'm not gonna hate on you when you popping. Do your chart toppers. Yeah. I loved House of Balloons from The Weeknd.
It's kind of still my favorite thing by him.
He
sampled Susie Sue.
It's my favorite thing of his. And then when he was like, I can't feel my face, I said, go ahead, King, do that.
I was happy that I was there for
So Far Gone.
And that's what she's saying. Yeah. Her true fans are sticking with her through the highs, the lows, the popular, the unpopular.
Yeah.
That's exactly what you sound like one of the true fans that she wouldn't be trying to shake off.
Because I don't feel entitled to people that, and probably also because I work in this industry, but I don't feel entitled to people's work or who they are or what I project onto them. I think that's really unfair. I'm like, get your bag, girl. If Doja Cat wanted to throw some ass for Target, I'd be like, yes.
If you're a true fan of the artistry, you're there for the journey, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I want to put it out there, just to make it very clear. She was signed in 2014 to Kemosabe Records.
That's Dr. Luke's label.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. She has many songs produced by him.
Yeah. And they had a song called So High, and it was featured on Empire, and it was supposed to be sort of a breakout. You know, it did something.
Right.
You know, it didn't do an entire
That's
didn't
a
do
tough
a whole
spot
lot.
To put it on. Because, yeah. like, there's so much music on Empire. Like, listen.
I know.
Right. Drip, drop, drip, drippity, drop. Make-
By the way, not breaking songs on Empire, that's first season.
Yes. Yeah.
Second season, I don't know what they could break. But first season, oh, absolutely. And I have to point out, so after she leaves that label, she was briefly signed to OG Mako's label. I did not know this before we started preparing for the show. For those who don't know, OG Mako is, he's very sort of mid-20-teens famous for the song, You Guessed It. Let's just play a really brief snippet of that.
Well, damn. Bitch, you guessed it. Hey. You was wrong.
I mean, that was such a huge hit when that song came out.
You saw the rash just jump out of me. I was like, bitch, you guessed.
Yes. You was right. I mean, you was right. I was like, this is a hit song.
Yes.
Like, it's so simple. And I'm proud to say I'm the piano player on
Are
You Guessed
serious?
It. I am. No, you know, I did it under a nom de plume. That is not true. But but I did always say that that would
you
be like great
do,
bragging
do,
rights
do.
To be the person
it's
to play
the piano. One finger playing
the
piano. Do, 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 do.
Feels
you
like a cat.
All your fingers.
I think it's a, it seems like
one.
A cat doing that. Yeah. Accidentally.
Yeah.
Just walking down the keyboard.
So she was signed to OG Mako. Believe it or not, OG Mako could not break her big. She ended up breaking herself big. We're going to talk about Moon a second, but right now in the current moment, Doja Cat has hit a creative high point, her zenith, if you will. She dropped her album Scarlet last year in 2023. Luxury, I know you've been listening to Scarlet recently. Lacey, I'm sure you've already heard it. Let's start with you, Luxury. What did you think of Scarlett?
I got to admit, like, she's becoming one of my favorite artists. And I think maybe this happens when you kind of lean into an artist and you start to get all the nuance. Mm-hmm. But in particular, there's something about Doja. First of all, the music. I love the music, musically speaking. Like, she's doing really cool stuff, like mixing rap. And, like, she's, like, playing with different characters and different voices. Like, I was listening to the first song, Attention, I think. That was the first single from Scarlett. Mm-hmm. And I was like, it sounded a lot like... there's one cadence where she's, like, I thought it was... Ladybug Mecca from Diggable Planets, you know, and then she's sort of jumping around these different characters.
She can
and
sound like a lot
it.
Of different.
It's like an actress.
Yeah.
Sound like a lot of different people. The music takes a lot of twists and turns genre wise. And as a person, I was just drawn in by the charisma of this human. I was just like, I just really like her as a person, which is the core of what a pop star is. Is what they're doing at heart is it's their persona. They're going along for the ride, and what they're doing visually and musically and kind of in the culture is all a part of that package. But it comes down to the person. So I'm really attracted to the person as a person. Like, I want to hang out with Doja.
You find Doja Cat attractive? We got it.
As a person?
No, I'm playing.
And she's an attractive young lady.
That was way too eloquent. I had to step in with my silliness. What do you think about Scarlett?
I love Scarlett. It very much gives me like early aughts of Lady Gaga's career.
I can see
just,
that.
Totally, you know, like a lot 100%. Of shock, yes. A lot of camp, a lot of like big swings and things that we've seen before, but kind of bent on their head a little bit. You know, Scarlett got body, honey. Like, you know what I mean? So it's still sexy,
yeah.
But it's also just like, you know, kind of weird and androgynous and like right. dark, but like in a way that's still giving me pop. It's just giving me like Lady Gaga meat dress, you know.
I'm so glad you said Lady Gaga, because like I didn't want to interrupt, but like just really quickly on that point, when I said Lil Nas X, to me there's like a through line, and there's lots of artists in here, but like I think from Bowie to Gaga to Lil Nas X and to Doja, there's a connection where, again, it's music is important, but it's not everything. There's the persona, there's the like what they look like, what they dress, how they communicate in public,
performance
on the various
art.
It's performance art, thank you. It feels like performance art, of which music is an important part, but not the only thing.
Yeah, but the aesthetics are the things that last with us forever. Like, mm-hmm. you think Purple, you think Prince, you think mm-hmm. of that phallic guitar, you know what I mean? Like, those things are also a part of the performance. And unfortunately, now that we don't have as much artist development happening in music, it's like they pluck a girl out or whatever, and they be like, get on that stage, girl, just do a two-step and do whatever. You know, and it's like, we're happy with that because consumerism and like our attention spans are so short that we're like, okay, yes, girl, get up in there, your SpongeBob pajamas and give us nothing.
Right.
And it's like, it's nice to see someone who's put some thought into it and put a little something
and
that
it seems
lasts
so genuine, and it makes it more sustainable, because we all can think of artists that I won't name, where you can sort of like mix and match what they sing with who they are, and they don't really have that hold on pop culture. And that's all, that is what's happening behind the scenes, by the way. A lot of these songs are kind of like being traded from one artist to the next, yeah, and it almost doesn't matter.
Or stolen.
That's right. But with Doja, it all feels, to me at least, it feels a lot more like an authentic artist is at the core of it.
I like what you said about, like, you know, artist development, because she got signed in 2014. Like, think about it. She's been getting developed as a, she feels like she just got here, but she was signed 10 years ago. Yeah. And I think that that's important, maybe to some of the listeners out there who are trying to break big. Like, it takes some time, even after you think you've made it, to actually blow up. But if I can give my own take on Scarlett, what I actually liked about it is, you know, like, her Planet Her was like a pop record.
Right.
There's a lot of actual rapping going on Scarlett. Like, just the fact that
very
she's got
Kendrick
a song
influenced.
Called, like, 97. Like, she was like, I want to let people know that I am a rapper. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I really feel like Scarlett, at its core, is a retort to anyone who didn't take her seriously as a rapper. In fact, back when Twitter was still called Twitter,
it still is to me. I'm black.
It still is to me.
Yeah, I know it is.
I'm gonna call you what your mom named you.
She was working on Scarlett, and she said, and I quote, "Don't ever fucking disrespect me as a rapper. After the last song drop, you will respect my pen, and that's fucking that." And I gotta say, as somebody who writes stuff, bravo to you. I'm going to start talking to the studios like that. I'm gonna be like, after the last script I submitted to y'all, y'all will respect me as a rapper. At the very least.
Respect my pen.
I'm going to, clearly I need to write a rap script. Anyway, after its release, the album was lauded by critics and widely regarded as Doja's best work and a showcase for her skills as a rapper. That's now. But I want to rewind us back to 2018, when a lot of people first became familiar with Doja. Lacey, you touched on this earlier. It was because of this song. It is the famous, maybe infamous, Moo. Those of you watching on YouTube just got a great show. And Lacey, great hat, by the way.
We said we were talking Doja, so I had to bring some energy.
No, you had to, and I love it.
Yes.
I love it. Listen, I know some of our listeners don't know Doja Cat that well, and they definitely have not heard Mood, so they're probably like, what the hell is happening on one song today? But we're so happy to be talking about this, because this is a song that I think had, you know, one intention when it came out, but, like, among, you know, younger hip hop listeners,
like,
they were like
wrote
they were
this,
all over it.
She wrote this like on a live stream or something.
I watched
right?
that live stream where she wrote it.
When it was happening?
Yeah, because I was following her and I really loved her in her bedroom. I told her she would wear the cutest outfits and it was very like anime girly, and also she was like playing music.
So
and,
when
like,
this when this song dropped, you were aware of
you
it.
Were there
you
when
yes,
you
I was,
watching
I was
it.
There.
You watched this get made.
That's so dope.
But one thing that I really loved about Moo, and I think why it was so catchy, is like, you know, when you get like a sample track or something sometimes, like remember when Kanye did this to Drake on a song that he was supposed to give to him, and it was that Scoop-diddy woo.
Skippity doo.
Scoop-diddy doo. Scoop. Scoop.
Totally.
Like, I actually know the whole thing. We did a bit for a sketch show, but the whole point is like,
Scoop-ity
this
scoop.
Is the beat. This is where the words should be.
Yeah.
These are the syllables.
Right. And just doing placeholder stuff, but that works.
Yeah. And so Cal to me feels like campy placeholder.
Totally. Yes.
Where it's like, you would have loved the song, like, got milk, bitch. Got beef.
Right.
Got steak, hoe.
Yeah.
Got cheese. It's like, you're feeling the motion of it more than the words.
Oh, listen,
sometimes
we always,
it's music.
We always say it.
Black Eyed Peas are great at that. Come on now.
Absolutely.
All these songs is like,
that's
boom,
a great
boom,
observation.
Pow. Like, what?
It's
are
such
we
a
doing?
Testament too, to like the power of improvisation. And the power of just like trusting your gut and your instinct, because that was first idea, best idea, right? Isn't that what we're supposed
to do? I always come back to the Beatles' Scrambled Eggs.
Yeah,
you know,
scrambled
yeah,
eggs.
Scrambled Eggs becomes
Oh My
Yesterday.
Darling, How I Love Your Legs. That was the beginning of Yesterday.
A lot of people didn't take Doja Cat seriously as an artist because of this song, but I think looking back, it's not fair because, like you said, it's all just the creation and like the syllables fall where they need to fall. Luxury, you had the stems for this song, and I just
I
wanted
did.
To play just two parts that I thought were kind of wild.
Yeah.
So this is something I never noticed until I heard it isolated. Check this out. From the stems of Moo.
I'm excited.
Now, I never noticed how much like Soulja Boy with the long vowel sounds, like a long vowel sound, just to get really reductive.
Moo.
Yeah, exactly. It's like Doja Cat up in this. So like, you know, that was something that jumped out to me. And then one other thing, I mean, like, I knew that there was a sample in there, but now to hear it you know, played. This is Polka Dots and Moonbeams by Wes Montgomery, the song that underlies Moo. Check this out.
Oh my gosh.
So brilliant.
I mean, so beautiful, right?
This is why I love sampling. The juxtaposition of context, because in Moo... In Moo, that sounds so fucking silly and like simplistic and dumb, like in the best possible way. And then it's like this, like, what a smooth, silky New York nightclub in the 60s or something.
Somebody was listening to Wes Montgomery.
Yeah, that's classy.
Jazz guitarist.
It's so classy.
And we're like, yeah, I'm going to put this in.
Nothing is
cooler
than
that. I don't need a song about a cow.
Yeah. That's brilliant.
But I think that's also what she's really good at. Doja loves to troll. And she's a child of the internet. So it's like you got trolled by listening to this song that you didn't know had Wes Montgomery as a sample, that you didn't know had all these backgrounds, stems and stuff. And you thought it was just like a fun little ditty bop. But it's like, this was what music can be. And I also really love that because... In the terms of like maybe not being taken seriously in language that you use through music and through art to speak things to people, it's like her saying like, you think I'm goofy, but if you were actually smart, you would know how smart I am.
Yeah. You got to be smart to know how silly this is.
Exactly. And it's like, I love that shit. Yes. Like even in fashion as an actress, like when I go on a carpet or a show or whatever, I talk to my stylist that I'm working about what are we trying to say when I walk in this room? And that's how we make the outfit. We start with the communication. And so it's like every little thing you see, like if you are really an artist, it's not by accident.
No.
Right.
So I
always
that.
Say that things like The Simpsons and Conan O'Brien, they're really dumb jokes for smart people. Lacey, I have to
No,
ask
but
you.
I just flashed on something when you said that. I just saw this like TikTok the other day where someone pointed out. They were just like, it was just like a woman in her car going like, I'm so tired of you. Like, so she points out how like Childish Gambino, like when rappers say it, when rappers say puns, they're like super clever, but like when we say it, they're like dad jokes.
Joke.
Exactly, it's a dad joke. The line between dad joke and like, and there's a Childish Gambino line about like something Acme, and then it's like, you know, a cartoon character.
It's really not fair. I always said like in my 20s, I used to dress like a granddad, but then somewhere when I hit my 40s, dressing like a granddad, people just think you're a granddad.
It's not fair. Context not is fair. Everything.
Yeah, because we call it coastal grandma. And we're like, oh my God, I'm giving Diane Keaton walking on a beach.
Oh, that's
the line between corny, cool. The line between dad joke and profundity is all context. It's
profundity,
like all context.
Zenith. You know, come for the songs, stay for the vocabulary.
The
Lacey, when did Doja stop being the rapper with a song about cows? So like, in other words, when did she stop trolling and really get rapping? And like, do you have like a favorite Doja Cat song?
It's funny because she's kind of like disparaged her pop girl era and was like, this isn't it. And I feel like that's just her artistically trying to get to the point where people are like, realize like, I'm smarter than you. She's screaming it at us. But I think even the stuff she was trying to throw away, like for me, it was like, I love Streets.
Streets
I mean,
is amazing.
That was pandemic. Like everybody was like
totally.
Wearing a church dress and then to turning their lights off and putting the red lights on and dun, dun, dun,
dun. You know, Streets is amazing.
Like, love Streets. Like, and also, I'm sorry, but I'm a Say So girly. I love Say So.
Say So?
It makes me feel good.
My kids great like song. Say So.
Yeah.
My kids like Say So. Let's play a little bit of Streets. A lot of people might not even know Streets. That's a Doja Cat song.
Thank
but
you.
I guarantee if you've ever spent any time on TikTok, you do know this song. It is Streets by Doja Cat. Thank you. We just had our makeout tape episode where we were talking about like, what song do you make out with your better half? But I will say, one song that definitely made the tape with my wife and I, Need to Know.
Love your wife.
Need to Know.
I'm going to tell her you told me this.
After the break, we'll start painting the town red and get into the origin story of the song it samples, Walk On By.
No, but stay here. Don't walk on by. Stay in the podcast.
Please stay here.
That's Walk On By is the name of the song. Just clarifying.
Profundity.
You can walk
profundity.
While you listen.
Though. Seen it.
Shout out to U.S. Soy and the United Soybean Board for supporting this episode of One Song and for giving our podcast studio an unbelievably smooth, sustainable makeover. Here on our show, we dive deep into the music, dissecting every beat and lyric. Sustainability is just like that.
Each eco-friendly choice we make is like a single note that contributes to life's melody. That's why Heartbeat and the USB are teaming up to lead the discussion around greening Hollywood. We're talking slashing the carbon footprint of production with soy-based alternatives like soy-based inks for printing scripts, soy foam for soundproofing studios, and even biodiesel generators to power sets. To see our sustainable studio transformation, watch the Tears for Fears episode of One Song and see behind-the-scenes clips of how we pulled the whole look together. It's all on at Heartbeat Audio on YouTube, and the link is in our show notes. Welcome back to One Song. Okay, so Luxury, Paint the Town Red, makes heavy use of a sample. Talk us through that wonderful sample and how Doja and her producers make it their own.
All right, well, I'm excited to talk about this track because what's cool about it, one of the many things that's cool about it, is the way that Doja interacts with the sample. So the sample is in the background, but the voice of Dionne Warwick on the track on her famous song Walk On By from 1964 kind of acts, there's a little bit of a call and response going on between. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I really love the interaction. It's like a dialogue between 1964 and present day.
Absolutely.
Between Doja and Dionne.
Which is crazy.
Auntie Dionne.
It's exactly 60 years ago.
Right.
To me, it's so weird that like a song that resonated with like listeners' ears in 1964, you think about what the cars looked like, how everything smelled like smoke, you know, like how if you wanted to see a movie,
that's right,
you had to wait until it was back in theaters.
And like, the use of the sample evokes all of that, right?
Yes.
Just a little bit of the sonic.
6 years later, it's still resonating with people.
It's beautiful.
It's crazy.
Right.
Each time we meet, walk on.
Do you want to say anything about 64?
I mean, like, those are some of my favorite moments, like, in that time and era when, you know, the women's was still smoking and drinking when they was pregnant, okay? You know, the government hadn't warned us yet.
A very thin cigarette holder, right? So fancy and long.
And also, like, I know we're going to get more into this, but I also feel like the lyrics in Doja's song kind of, like the sentiment of it is still, like, I don't think it's just a sample that they chose because it sounded good. It's also the message, you know, like, if you see me walking down the street and I start to cry each time we meet, walk on by. And it's like in her song, she's like, bitch, I said what I said. Yeah. Walk on by. Mm-hmm. Walk on by because this is what we doing.
It is absolutely the connection. There are connections between the songs.
Yeah.
And whether she like felt it from just the sample, which my theory would be actually that's baked in. Part of the beauty of sampling is that sentiment gets kind of baked into the sound. Mm-hmm. She just got, I'll get into the specifics in a minute, but from the loop, from that two-bar loop, all of that is still there. Even though the song is 3 minutes long with many twists and turns and beautiful chord changes and such. Without further ado, we're going to get into this.
Let's talk about how this sample was made.
Let's do it. Today, we are talking on One Song about Doja Cat, Paint the Town Red, but we're actually talking about two songs. This is a two-song episode of One Song, I think. So the second song is the sample source, Walk On By. Such a prominent part of what we hear when we hear Paint the Town Red that it deserves its own little backstory. So let's talk a little bit about Walk On By. This is a song composed by Burt Bacharach and Hal David, two songwriters who are massively important in American music history. Mm-hmm. In the 60s, actually, they meet in the 50s at the Brill Building, which is a famous building in New York where a lot of songwriting teams got together and wrote some of the classic songs of the 50s and 60s. They met there, they formed a bond as Bacharach is the music composer and Hal David is the lyricist. So as a team, they would literally, their job at the Brill Building is to crank out songs every day. They would just song, 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 song. Their connection was incredible and they wrote a bunch of hits that we have all heard a million times. I'll just name a few. This is only scratching the surface. They wrote Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Do You Know the Way to San Jose? What the World Needs Now is Love.
Sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of, but the world is now.
Some other songs are Always Something There to Remind Me. You 80s kids would know the Naked Eyes remake of that song. What's New Pussycat, which is Tom Jones's famous song, which I always think of John Mulaney now because he has a joke about What's New Pussycat. I could go on and on.
You left out one of my favorites, which is You're Just Too Good to Be True.
I mean, let's name a few
which
more.
Which was covered by Lauryn Hill, famously.
Yes. You're just too good to be true.
can't take my eyes off of you. You be like heaven to touch. I wanna hold you so much. Have long last love.
They long to be close to you. The look of love. So in 1961,
Look of Love is fantastic.
It's so good. There's not a lot of bad songs in this catalog. Hello.
No.
Oh wow.
So
yeah, there you
go.
Yeah. So in 1961, Bacharach and David meet Dionne Warwick. She is a background singer on a track they're working on, and they quote unquote discover her, as one would say at the time. They work together for about 20 years, 12 million records sold in their collaborations, and 38 singles that make the charts. 22 are top 40s. Walk On By is one of them, but also Anyone Who Had a Heart, I Say a Little Prayer, I'll Never Fall in Love Again, Do You Know the Way to San Jose? And Dionne Warwick herself deserves a little bit of shine. This is a woman who won a Grammy for...
She deserves all the
shine. That's Twitter auntie. And I love her niece, Brittany Warwick. That's who got her on Twitter. And like that became iconic. And then SNL. So she's mommy's still relevant to this day. But I also love that the Whitney Houston family, all of them, so many of them were singers and very famous
Dionne Warwick is, so here it is. The connection to Whitney Houston is their first cousins.
Yes.
Which is because Dionne Warwick and Whitney Houston's mother, Sissy, were sisters. Mm-hmm. So they're first cousins right there. Wonderful, like these three musicians are
so
much wonderful
vocalists.
Music has come out of
singing every week,
this collaboration.
Week.
Can I just say, it's just a side note, one of my favorite Dionne Warwick songs of all time is the song You're Gonna Need Me, which was famously sampled by Jay Dilla. Here's just a small piece of that real quick.
And this is... Shout out to my exes.
I mean, I can listen to that song.
I can too. Oh my goodness.
they're a dream team. They capture a sound from the 60s that doesn't always get mentioned when you hear all the Phil Spector talk and all that stuff. But to me, like, this is a part of that, like, just glossy, clean, big sound. I just imagine like a day at Capitol Records, you know, that iconic building, and like you've got these instrumentalists and you've got, you know, just this amazing voice and these amazing arrangements and lyrics. Like, they're a dream team.
They all bring such talents to the pool, too. I mean, Bacharach, just to spend one more moment on him, because he's such an important, iconic composer in American history, what he's bringing into pop music is a lot of jazz, like, chord changes.
Yeah.
And interesting choices for, like, bars that kind of, he'll add, like, half a bar or maybe add an entire bar, rather than having the 4-bar, 8-bar kind of phrasing and looping.
Mm-hmm.
All these little innovations that make the music special because it kind of hesitates or pauses or does something unexpected. And he's putting it in pop music in the 60s.
So good.
And that's how you know that it has longevity. I feel like, you know, interpolation and samples get too much shade. Like, Michael Jackson loved to interpolate music.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Not
constantly.
On this show. We love that stuff.
But I also love the juxtaposition of the sounds in a lot of these songs, especially Dionne Warwick's, where you're hearing, like, these, like, thick, bassy, like you want to move your body, kind of like Streets, like when that beat drops, it's like, you know, it's something, it evokes an emotion, a feeling in your body.
Or your body can't help itself,
it's juxtaposed with, like, you know, Dionne being in her higher register, or, you know, whatever. So it's like this lightness to it too. So it's like you can listen over and over again. And then I love hearing it in other music. And I think the real testament is if Black people want to sample your music. If we want to sample your music, then you know
that
what I mean?
That is the, like, ultimate cosign.
That's just the way it is. Tupac being like, let me get that country song. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's how you know it's buzzing. Like,
Especially 60 years later when it's got something to contribute to the modern day, to the modern conversation, which is what happened in this song. So I'm going to play for a minute. We're going to look at Doja's Paint the Town's use of the sample. But first, a real quick breakdown about the actual song itself.
Stop.
I love that.
Walk on by, don't stop. Walk on by. I just can't get over.
You can throw ass to this.
It's
you
so.
Know what I mean? You really
That was
good.
What I was thinking. I was like, kind of want to throw some ass to this.
Yeah, you know how they took Sam Cooke and it was like, I was born by the river. I was born by the river. I was shaking that ass, bending over my pussy. I was making that cat.
Lacey, you're giving it away. Save this for the studio after we record the episode.
I love it.
I'm surprised nobody sampled that piano. I mean, I'm sure they have. Right now, I hear the internet firing up. Like, oh, man. But, you know, I haven't heard of Prominence. Like, there's so many wonderful parts there.
Yeah.
And by the way, I love a song that can put you in a setting. It's mm-hmm. almost like its own time machine. Like, as she's singing, I can see how she's dressed. I can see, like, a crowded bus in Manhattan in 1964. Like the texture on the clothes, like it really plants you firmly in that year.
Yeah, I feel it's so evocative of exactly what you're describing. It's very cinematic, visual
about
it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So cut to present day, and the story of how that song that we just heard, Walk On By, got incorporated into the Doja Cat song, Paint the Town Red. I'm going to tell you that story now. It begins with Earl on the beat, the producer. He's out of Atlanta. He'd done a lot of work with Quality Control, artists like Lil Yachty, Lil Baby, some City Girls work. And
so how did he come to know Doja Cat?
So he had met Doja at a Grammy party, and mm-hmm. he had been working on a bunch of tracks, and he's like, I got to get something to her like right away, you know, catch this heat. So he had just discovered, or he had recently discovered a couple years ago, the Dionne Warwick catalog, and he'd heard it, actually, perfect connection, because he had heard the Usher sample.
Oh, the Usher
sample,
which samples the song You're Gonna Want Me Back. We actually know that song. That's Throwback featuring Jada, because it goes like this.
What she said to me. Now I'm wishing she was still here with me.
What?
One day. Day's here. We may gotta shed tears.
Maybe.
That story just perfectly illustrates, though, like the beauty of sampling and its reuse and the discovery aspect.
Yeah.
Because literally, Earl on the beat discovered Dionne Warwick because of that song.
Yeah.
Right? Which meant that that song is Dionne Warwick's You're Gonna Need Me.
Yeah.
Heard it on the Usher track and decided, and his quote is, that's a good ass voice. Who is this? And he went through her discography and just found things to chop. And one of them was Walk On By. And when he met Doja Cat at this Grammy party, he's like, that's what he sent her the next day. She hopped on the beat, and this is the story of Paint the Town Red. Comes
so
right
crazy.
From that discovery.
Stay ready, you don't have to get
thanks
ready.
Thanks, Usher. Yeah.
Yes.
So, and actually, it should be noted, by the way, we've just talked about Burt Bacharach, Hal David, the writers of Walk On By, and Dionne Warwick, who was a singer. Kind of funny story about how she learned of the Doja Cat use, because she is not technically cut in financially.
Oh,
to,
man.
Unfortunately, to the Walk On.
Come on, Burt Bacharach.
She's not a songwriter on the track, so she only learned about it when her granddaughter told her that the song existed. She's like, Grandma, I think I heard your voice.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So then that's when she jumped on Twitter?
That's when she jumped on Twitter and
I love that video.
Went on the Kelly Clarkson show and said, I love it. I just love Doja Cat bringing my song to a new generation. You know, but the flip side of it is like not having been cut in, like she just didn't know it existed until mm-hmm. someone told her, which is one of the stories that happen in samples that I'm not crazy about, unfortunately, when like the performer didn't. I don't know that Dionne Warwick's making a lot of money from this, is my point. Maybe from a few more streams on Spotify, but for the most part, it's the Bacharach and David estates that are earning the coin, because they're both dead. Oh, that's a sad note to end things on. I realized that everyone just got really silent.
I was just like super enthralled.
I think Dionne's doing okay, but you know what?
Yeah, she's thriving.
She's thriving.
Relatives, cut her in.
All right, so I'm going to walk you through just a little bit of how the sample was used. It's really interesting because in the first place, I'm going to play for you the original song. This is the portion of Walk On By which is sampled. And actually, the loop that was used and how it was integrated in Doja Cat's Paint the Town is really interesting. So just a really quick walkthrough. Here is Walk On By. This is Dionne Warwick.
Walk on. Walk on by.
What's interesting, though, is that the actual loop is a little bit like kind of awkward, like the brackets of the beginning and end of the loop. I'll play it for you. It's kind of in the middle of all of that. So it starts in the middle of one piece and ends in the middle. Here is the actual loop. And here's the
walk on by.
It's like the earlier by.
Yeah.
Right?
That it's noticeable.
It's noticeable. And there's also a little thing that they add. And I'm going to now move from, that was the original Walk On By.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'll move to the use of it in the song. So here's the instrumental, the Doja Cat instrumental, and you can hear that loop is a little different already.
Walk on by.
Bye. There's uh-huh. thing. And then the second time around, here's where things get
really... Yeah, they double it up a little bit almost to like make it fit.
Here's where things get really interesting. In this second version, there's also like a slight variation on that loop. That was the intro that you heard. The second time around and through most of the song, it has a few parts that were added to it. They're very subtle, but I'll play it for you now. Do you hear like in the background?
Yeah. Sort of backup trumpets.
So I went through the entire original sample multiple times. That's not in the original. That was baked in by the producer, by Earl on the beat, to make it sound like it was in the original sample. Really subtle production tricks to kind of EQ it, to make it sound like an AM radio. But he was adding, he's adding two parts there. He's adding two little melodic, and there's like a keyboard there. There's really, really cool subtle things.
I love it.
This is sampling as an art form, is what I'm saying. Yeah. This happens a few times throughout the track. I'll play you one more version of that. Because, yes, there is a loop, but the subtle variations, the subtle enhancements make its running through the whole song what makes the song sort of sing and vibrate and have motion to it, have some emotion to it. Emotion and motion.
To glow up one more time, trust me, I have magical foresight. You gon' see me sleeping in courtside. You gon' see me.
So that sort of bridge section, he's added another kind of layer of synths and melodies that are, again, very subtle, but they add a little lift.
Yes, I can hear it. Oh, that's beautiful.
Now, again, that is not from the original sample, that's but it really feels like it is.
It feels like he's trying to give it like a coding. He's like, this is an old song, y'all. You know how like you take a, when you're in grade school and they'd be like, make an old timey project and you put your little paper in the oven and be like, listen, this is going to be old. I put tea bags all over, it's going to look hella old.
Parchment. You want to make it look like parchment.
Yes, you want to make it look like parchment. So I feel like that's him being like, y'all, it's real old. It's old.
It gives it some film grain.
You put a filter on it.
So in addition to the sample and the loop and all those little variations, Earl on the beat, added a bass and kick that are the same thing. In other words, this is an 808 kick drum that gives it the bass content. Anyone who's ever used an 808 knows that there are...
It's one of the best instruments of all time.
You can tune the kick drum and it can be simultaneously fulfilling the goal of what your kick does, boom, boom, but also giving it like a bass note. So that's what we're hearing. It's one thing doing two things.
I love that bass.
And then he added some snaps as well.
Yep, that's it. That's all I need.
And then
you could use that combination to create like 95% of your pop hip hop songs.
Truly.
So when you put all that together with the sample, it sounds like this. Actually, let me just back up because I was playing with some new stemming technology. So I was able to separate in the sample the instrument from the vocal. So let's hear that. So there's just Dion isolated. There's the full sample. There's the 808.
Okay.
And here we go with the snaps and hi-hats. So that is the musical track. We've got 1964 in there. We've got 808s from like the history of hip hop in there, right? Because when you use an 808, you kind of invoke 40 years of 808 based hip hop.
Yeah.
And last but not least, we've got Doja. So let's talk about Doja's vocals.
Yeah, let's talk about those Doja vocals.
Bitch, I said what I said. I'd rather be famous instead. I let all that get to my head. I don't care. I paint the town red.
You know, again, one thing I really liked about the album Scarlet in general is it's like, I am putting to rest anybody's, you know, critique that, oh, she's a pop singer, she's not a rapper. You know, I think that this song, in, you know, she's got good rhymes in here. I love, I believe it's the second verse in this song, like a lot. Maybe we can hear a little bit of those vocals.
Yeah.
Ugh, you can't take that bitch nowhere. Ugh, I look better with no hair. Ugh, ain't no sign I can't smoke hair. Ugh, yeah. Give me the chance and I'll go there, bitch. I said what I said.
I mean, I love that.
The ughs are such a hook. Such a hook.
Like, it's just like, it brings them out of your body. Bitch, I look better with no hair. Ugh. And like, I love the, like, they say, I can't smoke here. Ugh. And that's a reference to the Met Gala.
Yes.
Where she was vaping. And they were like, bitch, nobody's not going to smoke here. Ugh. You mad?
I love it. Yeah, everything she says in that little section is, a lot of it is referencing the controversies, yeah. the things that we've caught on social media. Yeah. You gonna catch me sleeping at courtside.
Yeah, what about it?
She the devil, she a bad little bitch, she a rebel. She put her foot to the pedal. It'll take a whole lot for me to settle.
And then also with, you know, Walk On By. Being it's like, walk on yeah. by. Yeah. Y'all yeah. talking about my bald line. Hair, walk on by, girl, I look good with no hair.
You know, one thing I really like about this song, and you mentioned it earlier, is the fact that she's duetting with the sample.
Yeah.
You know, and you mentioned it earlier. I mean, I love it when she's duetting with Dionne Warwick. There's the Nicki Minaj song, Everybody, which samples right. Junior Senior's right. Move Your Feet, which is one of my favorites. Deep in the spot, a nigga telling now. I love it when hip hop, there's whole songs where Ghostface doesn't even take the lyrics out. It literally sounds like he's rapping while the singer's singing. And it reminds me of this old Fat Joe song that I used to love. There was a great Tony song called That's All I Ask of You. Here's just a snippet of it. That's All I Ask of You. Great track. And then Fat Joe came along and he duets with it like this.
Yes,
that's so satisfying.
I love that. Yeah. So I love it when people do stuff
it's,
like
you know,
that.
It's and it's evocative. So the first thing that popped in my head is like the origin of that, like in recorded music being used as a dialogue, is Jamaica. You know, I'm going to bring it up almost every episode. But like one of the first instances recorded, because the history of Jamaican, it's done live in the 50s and 60s with the sound systems, and it's not really recorded until the early 70s. So U-Roy, one of the first like rappers, basically, where it's a recorded backing track and someone talking over the song, and one of the first examples of that is this song by U-Roy. That's one of the first.
Yeah, totally.
One of the first examples of using the recording and something on top of it that's responding to it, which is itself its own recording, which is itself a new song. I've got a musical deep like in a voodoo blade.
I love that. Yeah. Thank you for taking us to Jamaica, a journey to Jamaica. And I appreciate you guys for taking us on this journey of this song. This song itself, Walk On By, has been on a journey. In the introduction, we speculated that Paint the Town Red is going to go down as a classic. It could. Do you think this song will stand the test of time?
I do. I think that there's so much like musical technicality in it. It's so fun. Mm. And also when you're sampling a song that has stood the test of time, like from the 60s, like, you know what I mean? It's still busting.
I mean, it's already stood the test of time.
You know what I mean? So it's just standing on business. The song is standing on business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to be standing and sometimes bent over twerking to it. You know, what can I say? I said what I said.
You know, speaking of that line, I said what I said, that seems to go directly towards her fan base. And, you know, we're here to give Doja her flowers. She deserves them. But I do want to talk about this thing, her relationship with her fans. What do you think, and I'm going to throw this to you, Lacey, what do you think, what do you make of the way, I should say, about how she kind of comes at her own fan base? Like, when they're like, we're going to call ourselves the Kittens. And she's like, I didn't come up with the Kittens. Y'all came up with that.
Like, y'all shut your asses up. Tired of y'all. I mean, I think that she has entered the realm, which I really try to dance around. It's a very thin line of like, when you are an artist and you do have a fan base and you engage with them in a parasocial way, you are allowing them to project their fantasies, their image of you, their wants, their needs onto you. And as an artist, that can be, it's a double-edged sword. Like, yeah, they'll follow you into hell, but at the same time, like, they feel entitled to you. Your photos, your memories, your relationships, how you purport, how you dress, how you act, because you have made them feel like they are a part of your real life. Now, you did that because you wanted to gain their loyalty and their coins, but then you have to take the negative side of that too, which is that they have an entitlement over you and everything that you do. And I think that she got very frustrated because she'd be online. Yeah. Okay, I'm like, when do you sleep?
You forget this is a woman in her mid-20s, like to this day. She might be like 28 or something like that. Like, she, you know, like, I always say, like, if Luxury and I should ever happen to have, like, a huge online following, like, we'll just be like, thank you so much. You know what I mean? But, like, she's the age of those people who are on.
And she's a woman, and she's a woman of color. Like, there's so much going on that she's attracting.
So much going on.
Entered a job that had a very online fan base.
Right.
It can become very real. Like, when I was working on iCarly, like, I had to move the first time. And I'm not even joking.
Wow,
like,
really?
My address was on the internet. I was doxxed. My phone number was out. People would call me breathing at 5 a.m.
Wait. Why were they coming at you for being on iCarly?
Because I was black and they didn't want me there. I was just a black person who got a job.
Damn.
But, like, their fan base is so strong and, like, so, like if you go to my tag photos on any of my profiles, you're just going to see mostly iCarly stuff to this day. And, like, I love the fans who are not weird. I love y'all. But, like, when it starts to threaten your physical safety and, like, they're like, here's the LAPD, like, celebrity hotline, which I was like, oh, they got a so this one not going to kill me because I'm black if I call them. Like, but it becomes
so taxing on your mental health. Like, you have to, like, kind of limit your interactions of you going to the comments. Of you, like, you got to prepare yourself mentally. Like, okay, I'm ready to see whatever's there.
But if you come up like Doja, I feel like before you're famous, you were already on the internet so heavily in a way that we weren't. I'm a little bit older than her. So I feel like she went too far into it and then realized, like, she didn't want it to affect her art, because there are some artists, I will not name them because some of them have crazy fan bases, but who have allowed their fans to influence them so much that it's now taking a toll on their art. So Doja wants to do what she wants to do, and she doesn't want her fans being like, we want this.
Yeah.
She's like, you get what I give you.
Yeah, that's actually what I meant. It's sort of like she's of the age where she understands this online back and forth more than someone like me who, like, made it out of my teens without ever seeing, you know, YouTube, you know, without ever seeing. It's just a different relationship.
You were touching
that they
grass,
have.
Diallo. Wow. I said you were touching grass, Diallo. Wow. What it feel like with the dew on it and whatnot?
I feel like
you
she's know, playing a great. Dangerous game, great. And sometimes it feels like she's mastering it, and sometimes I worry for her, again, with that sort of older brother kind of, like, I recognize what she's doing is very fraught. She's online. There's a lot of opportunity to be seen, heard, and loved, right? There's even on the screen of her video for attention, it says in bright, big, giant letters, love me, right? Mm-hmm. It's sort of like a theme of what she's going through right now. She recognizes the push-pull. She wants the fame. She wants the attention. She recognizes as a, like, thoughtful, vulnerable human that she wants, it's love that she is after, but the price of that kind of love, of parasocial relationship love, that is, not just, like, human, like, vulnerable, actual flesh and blood relationship love is its own different thing. You are playing with fire. It is a dangerous game.
And the edgelordiness of it all, like, when we're starting to teeter into the racist t-shirts and the trolling, that I'm like, I get that you're trying to be counterculture and you're very young, but
plausible,
like,
deniability about the Nazi stuff and the, like,
and I just wish that people understood how much words mean things and how much words become physical and violent.
She's like,
on
4chan and 8chan stuff, like, all that stuff is really dangerous.
Well, so okay, so we should talk about that, because there have been some controversies. You know, Doja has at times, you know, seemingly flirted with the alt-right. You know, there were the there's a chat room video that I think a lot of people have seen. If you haven't seen it, she was in a chat room. She did the song Didn't Do Nothing, which, you know, she's like, I didn't know that was a thing, you know, in right-wing channels that sort of minimizes the, you know, police brutality that the black communities face. I throw the question to you, Lacey. It's a bigger question, but do the politics of an artist matter?
I think that it's a twofolded question. One, like, yes, you are entitled to identify however you want. And, like, as a biracial woman, Doja Cat can align herself with whatever, you know, race or identity that she sees fit. Like, I'm not her mama. Like, you know what I mean? Like, live your life. However, you know, too much is given, much is required. And if you are given a platform that large, you know, you have to be responsible with it. You can choose not to be, but then you are making a very detrimental impact on the world. Like, I always like to bring up that SpongeBob episode where SpongeBob started doing stand-up comedy, and he was telling these squirrel jokes about Sandy. And, like, and then, like, you know, Sandy was like, I really don't like these squirrel jokes. Like, this is terrible. Like, please stop. And he was like, they're just jokes. They're just jokes. So he gets up. He tries to do a set. He doesn't do the squirrel jokes. And they're like, we want to hear the squirrel jokes. And he's bombing. So he starts telling the squirrel jokes. And then the next day, Sandy goes to the supermarket and people are like, oh, get away from that squirrel, baby girl. You don't want to catch her, stupid. And it's like, art is words, and people like to say words don't mean things, but words mean things. They influence people and then they create real life life consequences. True. So I just think if you want to be a good global citizen, then you'll be careful. And there's two ways to do that. You could either be a champion for people who are oppressed and don't have voices, or you could be quiet.
That is a choice.
You know what I mean? Right. Like, people be like, why did this celebrity not speak up about this? And I'm like, look, we don't know what they read. Maybe this is good that they're not talking. You know what I mean? So you got two choices. You can do right and educate yourself, or you can be quiet. And I'm supportive of both of those choices. Now, the other one.
But pick one.
Yeah, but pick one of those, the good ones.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For the record, I do think that Doja Cat does see herself as a black woman. And I do hope she does, because
I feel like she teeters, because right now she's back over on the, but she's also trolling. Like, we gotta remember she's young. She's doing the like emo.
I was gonna say you know, like, she sees herself as a black woman. I would hope so, because a lot of n words on these records. So if you're gonna use the n word, identify with us. That's all I'm saying.
Listen, she was like, technically I can, because look at my 23andMe, okay? But yeah, we would hope so.
Listen, we're coming to the end of the show, Lacey. Doja has been through a lot of stages in her career and has tried a lot of things. What would you like to see her do next?
Honestly, whatever the hell she wants. Yeah. And that's what I love about Doja, is like, she doesn't seem like, to me at least, an artist who's been tampered by like what people want to see. And I feel like that is the death of creativity. And in the capitalist machine, like, I get sucked into it a lot too, where I'm like, I'm working constantly and I'm like, why am I not engaged with this? And it's because sometimes art just comes to you. Like, I've written a whole TV show based on me leaving boxing class and was like, bop. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, you have to have natural like stimulation in real life. It can't just be a machine. So I hope that Doja keeps being weird and doing whatever she want to do, because like, all the iterations of Doja I've absolutely loved. Like,
I'm on board with that. How do you feel?
Well put. No, perfectly put. I got nothing to contribute that hasn't already been said more articulately than I could say it.
Hey, Lacey, thank you so much for coming here today. Where can the One Song listeners follow you and find more of your work?
Yes, y'all can follow me at D-I-V-A-L-A-C-I-D Lacey on all platforms. And if you want to listen to Scams and my scam comedy, Scam Goddess Pod on everywhere you get your podcasts, honey.
I love that. And by the way,
book, Scam Goddess, you can pre-order right now.
Oh, right on. When does that come out?
That comes out September of this year.
Congratulations. Yes. That's a big deal. I understand.
Thank you.
Good for you. Lacey, thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule to come and talk some music with us.
I loved it.
Okay, we're going to get to one more song in just a second. But first, I wanted to point out that Doja's Paint the Town Red was not the first hip-hop song to throw 808 underneath Dionne Warwick's vocals. My man.
Right. Well, actually, I don't think this is Dionne Warwick's vocals, but it's her line as interpolated, or should I say interpolation.
Oh, beautiful.
Here we go. This is Slick Rick and Mona Lisa, 1988.
If you see me walking down the street and I start to cry, walk on by.
Hey, question.
Yeah, answer.
Who plays the trumpet?
Who plays the trumpet?
The trumpet is so big. Yeah, the trumpet is such a big part of the song. Who played that trumpet?
Well, there's two trumpets credited on Walk On By, and the names of the trumpet players are Irwin Markowitz, who goes by Marky Markowitz, by the way. The original Marky Markowitz. Not sure how many nipples he has, by the way.
He didn't go by Irwi.
He could have done that. He could have, but he chose Marky Mark. This is the original Marky Mark and Ernie Royale.
Irwin and Ernie played the horns?
Bert and Ernie on the horns. Ernie, I don't know why I call him Royale. It's probably just Ernie Royal.
But that is crazy.
Marky Mark and Ernie Royal on trumpets there.
Such a great, classic, soulful song from Irwin and Ernie. All right, it's time for the One More Song segment of One Song. This is the part of the show where we share a new song with you, the One Song Nation, and with each other. Luxury, what's your one more song?
So Dionne Warwick, in 1964, she wrote this song called Walk On By. It's been sampled by Doja Cat and Paint the Town, but it was also covered in a very famous cover by Isaac Hayes a few years later, 1969. It's actually a 12-minute long extended cover. It's extraordinarily transformed. It's really just the lyrics that are the same. Like, it's not your typical cover where it keeps melodies and chords and everything. So I'm going to play a little bit of that for you. The Isaac Hayes version of the Dionne Warwick original, as you can hear, completely transformed.
Such a great version.
Such a
Love
great
that
version.
Song.
Very popular like sample source as well. There's actually 122 songs that have sampled this, among which are the following that you may have heard, including this one by the Notorious B.I.G., 1994.
Who the fuck is this? Paging me at 5:46 in the morning.
We also got Tupac with Dramacidal. This is Me Against the World.
It's just me against the world.
And then this is actually the first place I ever heard it, because I was a big, like, I guess, trip-hop fan. There was this kind of one-hit wonder-ish band called Hoover Phonic, and they used it in this track, Twicky, from 1996. So a lot of people love that sample, and it's interesting to hear how, like, the minimal transformations that were done to it, actually. Just that beat is so sick, and that, like, one chord that just hangs in time. People just love to use that and reuse that.
Absolutely.
What about you, Diallo? What's your one more song this week?
Thanks, man. For my one more song this week, I'm choosing Robert Glasper's Black Radio. It features Yasiin Bey, a.k.a. Mos Def, and it's just a really cool jazz hip-hop fusion of wonderfulness.
Yes, you are rocking with the fresh, you are rocking with the deaf, you are rocking with the best, you are rocking with the yes. Now you are rocking with the fresh, you're rocking with the deaf, you are rocking with the fresh, it's the yes, you are rocking with the best, you are rocking with the fresh, you are rocking.
Yeah, I mean, like, you know, it just doesn't get any cooler than that. I feel like you listen to a song like that and you feel like you're hearing an MC, you're hearing, you know, amazing instrumentation. The jazz influence is there. So,
and also the bass was really grabbing me. I was really noticing how filtered it is. So it's like just the sub lowest of the low of the bass. I was really feeling that in my body, you know, no high end at all, just completely EQ'd.
I love
top.
That. Yeah, yeah, totally. And I just think that Robert Glasper, you know, he gets it. Like he's really making exciting music in the jazz space. Yeah, these
living
days.
Legend, genius alive among us. Yeah.
As always, if you have an idea for one more song, you can find us on Twitter, or X if you really want to call it that. Really, find us on Instagram and TikTok. On Instagram, I'm at Diallo, D-I-A-L-L-O. On TikTok, I'm at Diallo Riddle, Luxury.
I am Luxury on L-U-X-X-Y, I should say. Those are two X's. That's right, L-U-X-X-Y on Instagram. I'm also on Spotify. I always forget to point this out. On Spotify, we have a playlist of all the episodes
That's
of
true.
One song with That's every true. Song we mention, including their samples and interpolations and all that there. So
and
go
just
search.
The wonderful songs that reminded us of the
That's
song.
Right. That's right. We put everything on these episodes. So go to Spotify, search on Luxury, L-U-X-X-U-R-Y. You'll see it right there. It's one of my playlists. Or search on One Song Interpolation. Anyway, that's how you can find me on the internet.
Luxury, help me in this thing.
Well, I've been producer, DJ, musicologist, and songwriter Luxury.
And I'm actor, writer, director, and sometimes DJ, Diallo Riddle.
This is One Song, and we will see you next time. This episode was produced by Matthew Nelson with engineering support from Marcus Hong. Additional production support from Casey Simonson. The show is executive produced by Kevin Hart, Mike Stein, Brian Smiley, Eric Eddings, Eric Weil, and Leslie Guam.
Myrtle Beach is the beach. 60 miles of bright sand, water, and a wealth of wonderful music playing day and night. You can step into a simple beach bar and discover a surprising level of exciting musical talent. A place to kick back and groove to the enticing soundtrack of the most unexpected vacations around. With nothing but good vibes floating through the warm ocean air. Plan your own music-filled trip to America's jukebox at visitmyrtlebeach.com.
Ross has all the spring deals you want, so you can say yes to more looks for you and your budget. Tube tops for less? Yes. Dad shorts for the weekend? Yes. Mini skirts for less than online? That's a yes for you and your bank account. Find your certified yes for me moment and save 20 to 60% off department store prices every day at Ross. Hurry in for spring deals today. Items and styles vary by store.